From the Ground Up is all about us learning with you, with all these experts that we are bringing in on, from simple strategies to the most advanced property strategies. These people are all successful in what they do and have so much information to share to you, and we cannot wait for you to listen.
Yeah, it's good to have you, my friend. How have you been?
Thanks a lot. Yeah, always a pleasure to see you guys.
Yeah. No, mate, it's good to have you on this. I know a lot of people are going to get so much value from this because you guys are making so much noise in the industry. I feel like every time I go to a new networking event, and Property Filter is always popping up here everywhere, which is crazy to think. The business is how old now? Only, what, two, three years?
Yeah, 3 years. We incorporated 3 years. But the reality is people don't realize is we built this for ourselves, you know, way back. So
yeah,
to start with, it was just an internal tool and we were quite immature, you know. People wanted it. And we're like, well, build your own, you know. So so it's a kind of a bit of a weird thing. But
yeah, well, give us a, I'm sure people know so much about you, but like give a little background about yourself specifically. I know a lot of people have heard about Property Filter and we'll dive into that a little bit later, but what makes you you, man?
Yeah,
what happened before Property Filter?
Yeah, I'm an engineer. I used to build bridges. So I used to build, I realized my childhood dream. I wanted to build big-ass bridges. And, you know, you need to be careful what you wish for because then you get it. And then you work 6, 7 days, 13 days in a row, 15-hour days, the other side of the world. And you're wondering, why the hell am I doing this? And so so I did this for sort of 5 years overseas. Since 2016, and then after 5 years, I moved to UK in 2016, and I then repair bridges, and I had really a really fast career. And at some point, you realize that you don't want the boss's job anymore. You're like, why the hell am I doing this? You know, and then I had really zero work-life balance because I moved like 15 times in 8 different countries in like the span of 10 years, which is cool at the start. You know, like it's cool to be in the airplanes and stuff, and it's like seems cool, you know, but then you have zero life, zero base, you forget to be who you are and things, and you lose yourself a bit, and then you have to either continue and break yourself more or you kind of stop and realize, okay, man, what do I want to, you know, what the fuck do I want to do with my life, like, you know?
Yeah, it's super true. I think everyone hits like a breaking point where they grow in a company. And I think that's why a lot of people turn to property is like they need an out and they don't know what to do. They know that property can make money. And it's something that people just always kind of fixate onto. But then they realize that that's a bit of a minefield as well.
Well, the reality isn't ever is what you see.
Yeah, exactly. And then, so what's the transition between like that job and then Property Filter? Because obviously, you know, like you said, you build it for yourself. And then you're now here run this company that's doing really well.
It was all an accident, you know. So we started to do property. So I'm a very concrete guy, you know, as in a very pragmatic, you know. I need to see things being built and I need to see progress and things like that. So I always loved property. So I actually started in France in 2013. You know, but you know, you don't make the money you make in property like you do here, you know. So, but I always liked it, so I did a few deals there, bond conversions and some flats and stuff. And then, 2016-17, I was starting to look for a way out, I was like, okay, I know I understand property. So then you go in the rabbit holes of going onto YouTube, and then your Facebook feed is full of guru ads and stuff, and you go into people's funnels and webinars and masterclass and things like that. And then I realized, I think what really hooked me was the finance system here. So interest-only mortgages and the fact that you can refinance. So you can't do this, you know, in many countries, actually, in this way. You can't pull more equity than your loan balance in France, for example. So I'm like, oh, you know, I can use this pot of cash, you know, multiple times on multiple projects. And then I thought, okay, this is really interesting. And then we sort of invested in you know, in doing property well. But then the reality is... you know, you go through these phase of uninformed optimism to informed pessimism, you know, like, so everybody's telling you how easy it is you know, everybody's doing it and how easy it is. All you need to do is find motivated sellers, right? And then you do a deal and after a deal and then you are 2 rent-to-rent deals away from sitting on the beach and being financially free, you know? So everybody has to go through this phase where they... and then if you survive this phase, I think it's where you start to do well. But a lot of people churn there, you know, like they move from one side hustle to the other. Property is just one distraction amongst crypto, Forex, and all sorts of stuff. And then if you really, I think you need to love it, you know, you need to love the, you need not bricks and mortar, but love the fact that it's concrete, you can own it, and own it in, and love enough the fact that it's housing people and the whole thing of property. And then once you pass that hurdle of, actually, it's not that, it's not complicated, you know, but it's, but also it's not easy, you know, it's like easy and simple is not the same thing. Like, so, and then when it's okay, I, you know, all I need to do is understand the blueprint, understand what I need, you know, what are the steps and follow the steps. So if I don't know the steps, I figure it out from someone. And then I've got a bit of a plan, and then it's just execution. There's nothing really complicated about it. It's just repeating, you know, repeating a bit of a process. Mm-hmm. And then that's it. Property is quite, you know, it's quite a really, really rewarding long term. And I think you need to be, you know, you need to love it. You know, you need to be attracted to it more than other stuff. And then you move from this uninformed optimism to this informed sort of pessimism to then this informed optimism where like, okay, I understand what I need to do. I just need to follow the steps. And then you make it work, and it's very, very predictable, you know?
Yeah. I used to talk a lot about that framework that you just explained there, where you're kind of going through those stages. And I used to like coach people on their businesses because, and you know, their marketing, because it's so true. Like you have to go through those stages to the point where it just becomes like driving car. Doesn't mean you're not concentrating, you're not working hard, but you know the moves, you know what needs to be done. It's just about doing it, isn't it? And that's kind of where you want to get to. But even then, there's still hurdles constantly and new challenges. But I think things that were a challenge in the early stages are no longer such a scary thing, are they? You just know how to deal with them. It just doesn't mean they don't exist.
Every time you do something new, everything is new, you know, like purchasing a property is like, what are all these fees, you know, like refinancing, like what do you mean I did another you know, what is it that I need to sign today, another independent legal advice for like the 10th time this year, you know, like for another thing, you know. So like, look, I've done, you know, so once you understand this, it's just this, like riding a bike, you know, it's easy. But where people get distracted as well is you can jump around at the ecosystem level, you know, property versus another side hustle. But then within property or within anything, I guess is the same, is like the strategies, you know, it's like, I want to do this, I want to do that. So I see people do a lot of mistakes where they come really not being clear on why they are here, what they're trying to achieve. So they'll come into property to get financially free, you know. So I've deleted this phrase from my vocabulary since years, you know, probably 5 years. Like it's got a lot of baggage with me. I don't really like it. So, but then they don't really know why they are here, you know. So then they will jump around from one strategy to another, because every time they go to an event or every time they listen to some content or they watch something, it's like, this seems to be easier. And they never focus enough, and they never build enough longevity into focus into one thing to make it work. And they don't really know why they do one thing over another. So we get a lot of people to come to us and they say, oh, we want to do rent-to-rent, lease options, and commercial to resi. It's like, fuck talking about, you know? You know, it doesn't make sense. It makes zero sense. There's only three strategies in property. You're here for the monthly cash flow, you're here for the capital appreciation, or you're here for making capital events, you know, where you buy and sell, where you broker deals and you make, you know, make 5K to broker a deal, or you make 20K on a flip or an assisted sale, or you buy then the very boring assets, you know, that are going to be in your pension long term, the real passive stuff, you know. And then the other thing is in the same way is people will put in the same sentence things like rent to rent and financial freedom, you know, like it's like you don't understand, you know, like you really, like one is a very noisy cash flow business. You need to scale, and like you guys have done really brilliantly. And I know very little, you know, very few people like who have the mindset looking at it as a business and cater for it like a business, like you guys do. And then you've got the right mindset to then scale it, having the system, the process, because you understand it's a business. You know, it's not two deals away from being sitting on the beach. You know.
Yeah, I can agree. And
a lot more than 2 days.
yeah.
I think we feel farther than 2 days away from the beach.
Yeah, I know. Look, like you just said there, like I couldn't agree more. People try to jump between different things. They want to be an expert because, like you said, there's so much content online. And I agree. I think financial freedom is such a broken kind of way of looking at just quitting a job. Like, I want to just quit my job. it could just be as simple as that. Like, I'm going to work for myself because, you know, we technically right now have financial freedom, if we want to call that. We've left out both jobs. You know, we're growing a really successful business, but we're working harder than we have ever in our own, like, in our life. And I know you can relate to that as well.
I've left the 9 to 5. I've left the 9 to 5 and joined the 5 to 9.
Exactly. And I think, how has that shift been for yourself? Because, you know, going from a, you know, basically you started this accidentally, you never thought you're going to be in this position and you've kind of just ran with it. How has that transition been from working from someone else, being your own, you know, property business, to now this big business that's growing quite rapidly, especially a SaaS company, because there's a lot to that.
I think there's something to, I went through the whole cycle of, again, I don't like the sentence passive income as well, because it's not passive at all. But I went I'll come back to the property thing, and then, but just to go full circle, I feel like I went back to making active income cool again, you know? So there's a lot for myself, you know, I'm not preaching that anybody does one thing or another. I don't, you know, people do what they want, but I feel like, okay, property was great, is great as a wealth multiplier vehicle, but it's, I find that actually, I think the trading business like you have as the foundation of everything, you know, for the cash flow, you know, you can flick a switch, you know, and grow super fast, a lot faster than you can do through capital acquisition. So I've actually, all of this is an accident, you know, like, so we started to do property. We invested a lot in, you know, we went all in property basically. So it's like, okay, let's make this work. And we really struggled, you know, you went through these phases and it's like, well, the deals are not everywhere. It's like, it's a lot harder than we were told, you know, and we really struggled because despite doing like, I don't know, maybe 10, 20 viewings a week, we're just randomly booking viewings based on the pictures, the layout, and then you turn up at properties and you're like, well, nobody wants to do a deal, you know, nothing stacks out there. And I think because we are engineers, we discontract everything. And so it's like, okay, so what works? What are the fundamentals of things, you know? So yeah, after a good 18 months of committing to this and achieving very little results, I'm like, okay, so what are the fundamental truths, you know, the maybe some contrarian truths, you know? And one is that, you know, nobody can, you know, everything is downstream from your ability to finding good deals, you know? So like, if you want to scale a portfolio and things like that, you'll run out of money no matter how much money you have if you just, you know, do bad deals. And then you lose money as well if you do like poor deals. So it's like really all the success are downstream to this. So how do we find the good deals? And again, the two really half of the same coin here for us has been, okay, so the reality is that we have this big property market, but it's a big market of, you know, people are not really, it doesn't really make sense what people do, you know, like people take weird decisions, you know. So it's very much driven by people, the media and sentiment and things like that. So so property is very much a people business, you know, and the best deals are bought from circumstances. They are bought from motivated sellers, you know, they are bought from people who need to sell for other reasons that are achieving the best price, you know. And that was quite interesting. So the sort of the nuts and bolts of that. And because if you look at the data, and we sit on like more data than Rightmove, you know, like we sit on like the biggest property related database, all of all thing property, but the data only gives you an average performance of an area, you know. So the way you buy above performing assets is actually by buying from people who need to sell, you know, and it's how do you find and engage with them. And then the other side is property, you know, if it's a people's business, it's a numbers game. So how do we make the numbers work, you know? So there's a double entendre here where it needs to stack, so you need to be quite clear what you're looking for. But the real what I really mean here is like the deals are in the follow-up, you know, it's a numbers game. It's how many offers you put in every week, how many offers you put in every month, and then you follow up, you know. We've got people who've done 30, 50 deals, you know, on Property Filter, and they all tell you the same thing, you know, like 90% of the deals they do, they is just 3 months, 6 months after putting the first offer, and it's in the follow-up. So when I said at the start, it's a process to follow, like you just it, like once you understand what are the steps, follow it like that. So it really took us a while, and we failed for a long time, you know, like we failed for a long time to find deals. And then we created this piece of tech that just qualified the viewings. So we just wanted to do 10 times fewer viewings. We just wanted to speak with people who wanted to do deals, you know. But that's all it was doing for us at the start. And then we started to do quite well, started to get some, awards and recognition in the property industry. So our property friends, you know, everybody wanted to try the software. And this is where we go like, well, build your own, mate. You know, like, what are you asking me for? Yeah.
Get away. It's my deals.
Yeah, like, was very mature, super immature, like zero business minded, just finished, you know, like just straight out of a job and like, well, this is my office, you know, like, why are you here? And, quite immaturely. And then we just ended up, I mean, we were a bit, not pressured, but like people really wanted it. So we gave it away to a few of our friends in our close circles and they started to do quite well. And then they started to ask us for more stuff, you know, and we're like, well, it took us a while to understand that there was an opportunity. We need to unlearn a lot. You know, I've grown so much through the thing. I've become really addicted to this whole, you know, like personal growth and thing like that, but not so much by reading books, but just by the necessity of the environment we created for ourselves or that's created around us by the, you know, people demanding things. And then you need to learn or to filter from good to have feedback to must have feedback. What do they really mean? So speaking with, you know, like members, speaking with people and then prioritizing features. And we had to learn everything, you know, learn to become a tech entrepreneurs, learn to run tech teams. Like we knew nothing about all of this, you know, so then you learn super fast when you have no choice.
Yeah, it's the best way to learn, just doing it, isn't it?
And you've got a bit of a background in tech and SaaS and things. You understand this, you guys do, yeah?
Software's brutal, yeah. Yeah, software. Yeah. So, like, that's back. My background was a fitness company that had an app. And software, it's so interesting because what people want isn't what you focus your time on some of the time. And they're suggesting things, and it's like 10 or 20 or 30 or maybe even 100 people or 1,000. It's actually then they don't use it and you just spend all this money and waste it and it's not a feature and it's so brutal and so and people really don't understand this when you suggest all these things and they get annoyed but it's like that you know that it will not be used. But no, I envy software companies like this. It's there and then as soon as it gets it right it just booms.
We've been coding this for 5 years, you know, like people think we are an overnight success, they see us everywhere, but like I've had full, you know, at some point I had lodgers in my house, literally paying the developers, you know, like when we started, you know, like because there were no money, no revenue. It's like a restaurant, you know, you need quite a bit of capital into building the whole thing before you start to get, you know, like 50 quid at a time bills, you know. So it's similar, you know, it's like proper J-curve system where you need to invest a lot. But equally, that's interesting because if I had the mindset of a startup, you know, entrepreneur or tech entrepreneur, with no way we would have done like we did, you know, because we started with the really heavy database, like all the stuff the customer don't care about, but we cared about as the engineer just to do our little filter. And then we should have started with the pretty front end, the pretty thing, and run some tests, you know, fail fast, see what people care about and things like that. But because we built it for ourselves, like we invested more than you would to do this as a business, like it wouldn't make sense. So now we reap the reward of that because we have a stupidly strong infrastructure that is really created a moat and a barrier to entry for anyone to copy us or to get into our field. So because we've been stupid enough to do this crazy 2-3 years of just creating the database and the infrastructure for the database to be built on. And then with no other reward than say, oh, yeah, that's quite cool. I can do less viewings, you know. So we're a bit stupid like that. Now we are where we are, which is a bit crazy.
It's cool. Like you don't know what you don't know. Like when you're in the business. And how is your day today now? Like, are you stupidly busy? Like over the last year, has your schedule gone like that, or are you starting to now having the team being able to balance and be a bit more focused?
You go through phases, like, you know, so every level has its next level, you know, and other devil, you know, so you've got new and bigger problems, you know, so we did a couple of fundraising and then every time you think you're a millionaire because you got lots of money in the bank and then you burn through it quite quickly, you know, so
especially software companies.
So like I've got some guys on six-figure salaries, you know, like it's crazy, you know, like I didn't have a six-figure salary when I was working, you know, so, and then you've got teams of, got like 12 developers now, most of them are in the UK, like it's a big, you know, it's a big, big investment. And then everything takes a lot longer than you'd want it to be. And there's a big lag between the investment in the team and the thing coming out on the other side. So I think the risk, the more, like, let's say, I don't know, I can't really share with, I can't really remember and give you in a structured way, like, what were the different phases and different things. But certainly this year has been very much on, like, growing the team, investing in the team, and then discovering problem I didn't know I had, you know, like, so there's more than 30 of us now. And it's like leadership, and then you come into this with, so I always had a, I don't know, me and the other co-founders, we always had a really strong work ethics, even as employees. And I can't complain about the team that we have now. They are great, you know, but it's you think everybody's going to go at it the same way you are, you know, and it's like, well, it's a bit different, you know, so you learn these things. You know, like nobody cares as much as you do, kind of thing. But although they are very, very driven and they are proper good, you know, we're really, really lucky. We've attracted awesome people. So, you know, people who built like competitors to Rightmove before, or like Purple Bricks and stuff like that. So, like,
very
proper,
cool.
Yeah, like, awesome. Operate, you know, like big prop tech companies you would have heard about, you know, some other like in the M&A space. So we've got lots of skills in like really cool industries we want to get involved in as well. So yeah, like at the moment, I think it's more like the operations. Like you build the product and then you need to start building the business, you know, which is different. So you, but it's all really, really interesting. So we love solving problems. We love, yeah, I love, you know, like the members. So we get, we run calls every week, you know, so we run lots of customer success type calls. So group calls for different, you know, different strategies, Q&A, like where people demo their screen, show people how to find deals and whatever, you know, whatever their strategy. Do a bit like more like me, I'm sharing my frameworks once a week on different things. And you get really addicted to this feedback of people really depending on it, you know. So we're doing an interview tomorrow with someone who's become a really good friend. He's done 30 deals, 30 HMO deals. Wow. In the last 18 months on the platform. And, you know, it goes, yeah, there's no way I would have done out of that, you know, without this, you know. So it's really, really rewarding. And then knowing what property did for us and seeing the impact, you know, you can have, you know, times 1,000. Like you start to, you know, I've shifted to, I don't know, we are like very much impact driven. It's very, very interesting. Like, so yeah, it's really, really interesting. And you every level you learn a different thing. So, and we love like driving without the stabilizers and figuring it out, you know, and then next step is remove the stabilizer and like figuring it out. So we live outside the comfort zone and we put ourselves some constraints just where we have no choice, you know. So, and I probably recommend this to anyone, you know. So whatever you're doing, you want to be always on the edge, you know, like always, it needs to be uncomfortable all the time, you know, and then the uncomfort becomes comfortable, you know, so, and then you get really used to it. And then we live in this space, we've got a really good feedback loop from people who are really doing really well from the tech we build for them. But again, because it's property, you know, I think if it was something to get, I don't know, some delivery app or some sort, it would have the same impact. Like people change their whole livelihood, you know, because of it. So, and it's quite rewarding, really. So,
yeah, one's making people financially free and the other one's making them probably more lazy in a delivery app. But no, I think people is the heart.
It's like just on that, and that's really, really interesting because this loops back to what you were saying about the feature, you know, like prioritizing based on what people tell you and things like that.
Yeah.
And I'm really, really lucky with the co-founders. You know, I'm one of three co-founders on PropertyFilter, me, my best man, and his brother. And they really, really need to understand things. They cannot get influenced by anyone's opinion. You know, like I'm more of a people person. And they are like proper introvert, you know, and they need to understand it for themselves, which means they've really challenged the statu quo of all things. So I would get bombarded by all this feedback, you know, and they're like, why we need to do this, you know? And then they're like, well, but why, you know? What do we do after? What do we do 5 minutes before? What do we do after? And they've held this thought of having a very much a result-driven, you know, kind of feature release prioritization thing. And it links really well to what you're saying about, like, now it's got this impact because it was a lot of contrarian truth where I'm like, well, you know, nobody cares, you know? But actually they were right, you know, from the start. And it was just compounded investment after investment of these decisions, you know, one after the other, where I'll be like this, I don't know how you call it in English, this wind harrow thing that moves around, you know, with the wind, like, you know, so people say this, people say that, and you get very distracted. So, and then you get a bit lazy where you don't ask yourself the right question. So
it's a lot of noise. Yeah. I think it's super easy to just listen to everyone. But once you have that platform built and there's hundreds of people coming in there asking for stuff, then you start to realize what people want. And there's a balance between what people want and what people are asking for. But going to what you said about like people, like 100%, I think the hardest thing about owning your own business and even just getting into property, they forget that, like, but when you get into property, no matter what you're doing, as we build our portfolio, you're still building a business. You still have to deal with contractors who are people. You have to deal with lawyers or solicitors or estate agents or like, you know, then you get tenants and this every time it always comes back to people. So if you're not a good person, people person, I think people struggle. And I think, like you said, like just learning that, it is hard because everyone's, you've got 30 different personality types. We've got 8. 30 would be like crazy. it's next level.
You know, I find so hard about it. I think when you're kind of growing a startup, like you look at someone else that's maybe growing a business and you think like, oh, you know, they're a business owner and there's kind of this like halo around them, and then you become a business owner and you realize you don't feel any different and it's all exactly the same. You're just now running a business. Like you don't suddenly have this like
just more noise
confidence because you built a business. And I think like for me with all the people management, that's like the weirdest thing is like people are looking up to you now, like you're the boss, you know, and it's like a weird kind of mindset to get into to actually be that leader and like have that confidence. Because yeah, you kind of waiting to have this click, or at least I am, of like, oh, I'm a business owner now. Yes, so that confidence though, it doesn't just come, you know, like it's, you're still the same, everything's the same, but suddenly there's all this other stuff going on. And that leadership, I think, takes, for me at least, like it takes time, but it's really rewarding, isn't it, when you build that team?
Yeah, but you, so for me, it's because we have this, I don't know, somehow this drive to live outside the comfort zone. It sort of happens to us. So, and then because you purposely get into this situation where you don't leave any choice, so you take decisions where you just cut out the choice. You have to grow. You know, it's build or die. It's grow or die. And I think a lot of the successful businesses is where there's no alternative. So if you're building your portfolio, if you are doing SA, if you are doing like building a specialist letting agency for short-term let, which I prefer to call to, I'm 2 deals away from retirement with my rent to SA. So anyway, so if
you're, I love how much you love rent to rent. You love rent to rent.
I don't have anything against it as a strategy, but I don't like the package in which it's sold. And I think it's very, very misleading. And I've grown to be more and more opinionated about it because it attracts people who are not necessarily business minded. They want to quit the job. They're the ones with the maybe not the most capital, but they, I think, property is very forgiving. You know, you buy some buy-to-lets, you get some tenants in there, covers the mortgage. You know, if you don't buy some things, you know, if you don't do anything stupid, you'll be all right, you know. And I find like SA is actually like this entry strategy is actually the ones where you need more business acumen. And I had zero business acumen when I started Property Filter, you know. So we just had to learn all of this. So I understand all the growing pains, you know, of operations, finance, and, you know, year ends and bookkeeping, like all the stuff, you know. All of this stuff, you know, you don't know you need, and it's all these little things of admins and operations and finance that make all the different. But the problem is is people who are led to go into like a rent to SA, and they are told that you're just a few deals. Like it's the unit is the deals, you know. The unit is not your cash flow, your P&L, and your balance sheet, because nobody understands that. The unit is like you're 2 deals away because it's £1,000 cash flow per deal. And then all you need is £2,000. And this is where someone leaves a good, you know, maybe a good hospitality job or a good job some in whatever industry to have to work the, you know, they leave the 9 to 5 to move to the 5 to 9.
But like making less money.
Changing toilet rolls and all that, you know. So all these businesses, they only work at scale, you know, like all your rent-to-rent agency, it works because you've got dozens and dozens of units, you know. And then business is people and systems. So it's just understanding all of this stuff. So I think there is space in this in rent-to-rent. I think I have some more like business, you know, business entrepreneurial, you know, support content training. I'm not too sure what it would look like, rather than some of the stuff that exists. You know, so I'm not sure where we were when I took this full tangent there. But sorry about that. But
yeah. I just wanted to pick up on it. It was intriguing. Yeah, you made a few points throughout that I mentioned. I was like, well, I'm gonna pull up on that because I can tell he's got a voice on that. I can't remember where you were talking about. I think you were talking about we'll talk about people
talking about leadership. Talking about like leadership.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you grow into it, so you know you grow into it. So and then whether you like it to whether you want it or not, you're a leader. You know even if it's just you. If it's you, maybe you have a VA which is doing your booking and things like that. You need to take decisions and you need to attract people. You know, and I've learned that it's easier to sell a product or a service compared to sell someone a life choice of coming on the bus with you. You know, and being on a journey and attracting the right talent. We've been very, very fortunate to attract really awesome people, and I think there's a lot to be said around. Yeah, there very much is a lot to be said around just your own leadership. And it starts with your own standards, you know. It's like, do you respect yourself? Do you do those things you would say? And then all of a sudden, you've got some traction with yourself. And then you have people who, even if it's just a VA, you know, people love, you know, like they love working for you. And then before you know it, you attract people you didn't know you needed. You didn't know you could attract people. And it just happens to you, you know. So, but I think it does start with having holding yourself to, you know, good standards. And it's just as basic as doing the stuff you say you were going to do, you know?
Mm-hmm. So true.
Yeah.
Lead the way.
I love it. Yeah, I love it. I think people, you have to be leader. Like, you have no choice or your business fails. Like, there's no business that can have a bad leader that survives long term. It just doesn't work, in my opinion. It's going to come crumbling down at one point.
And a lot of it can be packaged in some fluffy things, you know, like, so now I understand like the value of like vision, mission and things like that. But even though I didn't fully embrace it as an activity of doing preparing this stuff, we had it, you know, we had it one way or another. And then and then it's the same. You need when we bootstrap Property Filter and then we decided we wanted to do something and we had to learn from scratch. I had to sell to the first members, you know, like the vision of this, you know, because it was nowhere near where it was there, and people put good money into it, you know, like to start with, and I can't believe I'm so grateful for pre-launch memberships members, you know, people who bought a yearly plan, you know, like for half the price or whatever, but like this is how we kept the lights on for a good year and a half, just to build what we need to build to progress, you know. And then you need to, and whatever you do, if it's selling to landlords, you know, you need to sell in the vision that you know, you're going to look after the property. This is your vision. You're creating this brand. You're creating your vision is this, you know. You, and then this is leadership, you know. So you have the leadership with your customer, which can be landlords, vendors. So you need to make people think and believe that you're the best person to do this transaction with, you know. You're the only you can occupy some headspace where you're the only person they want to sell the property to, whatever the price, you know. You can occupy some headspace where you're the only person they want to give you their property on management, you know. And in same place, you're the only person someone wants to work for, you know, or things like that. So
You want them not to go look for the other software or the other management company. It's literally like they're the only person they ever talk to. It's just, yeah, cool, I like you, I trust you, we're going to sign up. Same thing when they come to Property Filter. It's like, oh yeah, I see people getting deals. I know other people that have got that. Yeah, I'm going to subscribe. Why not? They don't even have to look to see if there's anything that can do it. It's just, I trust it. I buy it. Great. And you become the Mercedes, or, I mean, I don't really like Mercedes, but you get it. You get that nice brand car that people just will go spend ridiculous money for because it's people. So I love it. I think we're going to be talking about business stuff today. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's going where it goes, you know. Yeah.
It's good.
I just, It is such an important point though, isn't it? Because like there's so many elements to property, like you're saying, that are businesses. Like you said, there are certain situations where, okay, you buy a few, like buy to lets, and it's not. But there's so many other like property strategies that are a business, and you've got to have that side to it if you're going to do that, right? And that's kind of what we're learning to go along with, how you do it all. But yeah, there's a lot to be learned with that side of the scaling, you know, whatever businesses.
And it's looping back to what we said earlier. There's only three strategies, really. It's like you're here for the cash flow every month. You're here to make a profit, a capital event, or you're here for like you just park some cash in some boring assets that are going to pay you long term, the true passive stuff. You know, that's a framework I got from Dan Hill. He's calling the wealth hierarchy: cash flow, profit, assets, and that's all the strategies there are. Cash flow. This is, you know, your short term specialist. Letting business
for me. Might change our brand name to that. I might change it to short-term specialist management.
Yeah, your SA, you know, SA management, it's all of these things, but it's very noisy. It's systems, it's people, you know, it's you need to invest in it, you need to have procedures, you know, how do you deal with customers and things like that, you know, like landlords onboarding, what are the steps, you know, like, you know, if you want to scale, you need to have all these things in place, you know. And again, people think they can, you know, they're two deals away from retiring, you know, and this can't work if you don't have this mindset where, you know, it needs to, you're not, the unit is not the deal, it's the commercial balance, you know, it's where, you know, where the numbers needs, how many units do you need to afford a property manager? How many units do you need to afford all this booking and whatever systems you need, so that you don't have to be involved in the running of it, and you can just focus on growth, you know, and then your job as the CEO, owner of your company, is just growing it. So that's where people don't really understand, you know. So like, there's lots of these cash flow strategies. They are business cash flow businesses. So you need to go into it with the business skills. I think it's relevant because a lot of you guys will be doing SA and things like that. And I see too many people going to it a bit fredly, where they think we're going to have one or two deals and it's going to be fine. The reality is they created themselves another job, you know. And next level strategy is your profit, brokering, and then you go up the levels like this. And
yeah,
I agree. Well, yeah, you have to progress.
Yeah, go on, Zach. Go on, sorry.
No, fine. Will we save? Ladies like first. Oh, I can't cut you off.
I feel like it's always delayed for you on this. I don't know. No, I was just going to say, like, it's so true. Like, we talk about that a lot, and like, this is our cash flow business, but it's not the only thing. And then, like, we're working on like that team and building that team, and then we'll be a complete beginner at what those profit plays are and what those steps are in doing that, and then building like that wealth, which is obviously the top part. So yeah, we're like very much on the journey of learning what those next steps look like, and that's kind of the new
You don't need to know everything. So when you are where you were building, you know, the SA management business you have now, You're not cluttering your mind with like, how do I do a commercial tourism development, you know?
Yeah.
We talked about this a bit at the start, that people go into, oh, I want to rent to rent. I want to do rent to rent. I want to do commercial tourism. You say, well, you know, yeah, you can only pick one, you know, so it's not going to work. So, and we see, we do a lot in trying to help people focus on one thing in the calls we run and things like that. I think it's the simplest advice is like, just, why are you in it for? Is it for your cash flow? Are you ready to build a business? Are you happy maybe with your job, and maybe you can go part-time to free up some time so you can work on your profit play and actually making twice a year, 20K times two, or maybe you're sourcing 5 deals a year. You know, like, can this then buy your buy-to-let, you know? And it's just like very simple strategy, and you do just one thing at a time. But I don't know if it's just the social media or the different, there's a lot more content than there used to be now, and then people are just distracted, you know, do everything, and then they end up doing nothing.
I think people are just looking for, like, a lot of people are in a situation that they don't like, and they're looking for an escape, and they want to find the easiest and the thing that looks so, not unrealistic, but like, it's just kind of like anyone can do it, and they feel like it's handed to them on a silver platter. If you do this one simple thing, you'll be able to quit your job. And it's really like not the case. And I'm a big believer with rent. When we talk about rent to rent, I think rent to rent is a strategy that can enable you to gain a lot of skills, but also get your cash that you can leave your job or you can go down and you start to get a little bit of cash flow, but it's not something that is a generational wealth or something that you want to scale so that you're just doing. Because I think about right now, we have 70 properties under management. If I had 70 rent-to-rents, that is like having $100,000 overheads on rentals. And if it was January where you lose money, or me and Eve had to go out, you know, we went away for a month, and let's say things happened and then we dropped like 20%, we could lose like $30,000, $40,000. So they just wipe out like month profits. It just doesn't make sense. But yeah, now part of this podcast is like, we're now in a position where we have cash flow and we've set that up for, you know, to continue to grow. And now we want to do like, right, okay, what, how do we invest? How do we become an investor now rather than a cash flow crazy run around 24/7, 365 all the time, even though that's still going to happen. How do we invest with that 20% of time that we can?
Yeah. I think in everything you do, you want to think about the leverage for your next step. So instead of, so if I go back to people wanting to leave their job and I look back to your, you know, the stage you are now, you know, sometimes the solution is not quitting the job, but it's acquiring a skill so that you're more valuable to the marketplace and maybe you do a better job, you know. And people leave their jobs quite early, and there's no way we'd be where we are in PropertyFilter in terms of scaling teams, you know, managing complex product development pipelines, you know, raising finance with VCs, and, you know, like, you know, scaling partnerships being taken seriously by big players in our industry. There's no way we would have, you know, come out of high school and done this, you know. We, you know, like the three founders, we have, I'm not saying, you know, it's a must have, but we have degrees. We've worked 10 years in some corporate things. There's things we hated doing, but we learned, you know, you win or you learn, you know, in either way. And I think people don't tend to see the positive in their whatever situation they are sometimes, because they just compare themselves with whatever other people's situation is. And they're like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. It's boring, you know. And the truth is they are learning, you know. And then they can engineer, like they can go and work. Like, so the guys who work for us, we take immense pride and in helping grow people, you know. And there's lots of companies that help you grow, you know, and will invest in you. And you'll have mentors and things like that on the job. Like you won't have a you know, by, you know, paying someone on a course, you know. And I think this is the first stage where there's lots to be learned. And I can just talk from my experience, where there's no way we would have done the stuff we've done if we wouldn't have learned these things along, short career, you know, 10 years, working for 10 years for someone else, you know. And then where you are now, I think it's looking at it in a similar way, where you only look at leverage, you know. Now your leverage is you are in 70 properties, you have connection with landlords, your connection with the industry, and you can leverage what you have to build what you've got next, but also work on what you've got next for the next level as well. So for example, one thing you could do, so you understand that the cash flow is sorted, now you move into profit play. So profit could be like sourcing, where you get fees for brokering deals. It could be assisted sales or flips, you know. So basically an assisted sale is a flip where you don't pay stamp duty. And all of these, you don't own the assets, but because you don't need the capital, you can actually do a much larger volume of it. So it's a great strategy, because as far as the agent is concerned, you're the one buying a deal a week, you know. And then so you get paid to build this really good skill of finding deals, really good skill of finding angles on deals. And you get paid to growing your network, where everybody in Cardiff will know you guys, you know, because you're the guys who buy a deal a week, you know. So, and people want to go straight to like, I want to do this big unicorn deal and be solid for life, you know. And then it's a lot easier, you know, if you leverage every step of the way. So basically you could get paid. I'm suggesting to you, I don't know, maybe you've got this all planned out already, and I don't want to be, you know, maybe I'm going out of my way here, but
People are learning a different way. It's good. It's a good thought process.
Yeah. So yeah, I would say like if I were in your boots, and also you got huge leverage from your brand, from your network already. You got already good connections. So it's a lot easier than if you were starting to do sourcing tomorrow. It's like, oh, I just came out of a crash course. I'm a new deal sourcer. Like, it's a lot easy, you know, it's a lot easier because you've done all of this other work, you know, or where you are now. So use what you have now, but also think, okay, what can you build other than, you know, like this profit play? Like, so you basically are going to get paid to build a network of all the people who are going to be giving you deals for life, and you get paid for it, you know? So that's really an exciting place to be, like.
Yeah, that's cool. We're like refurbing our own house right now, and that's like our first taster, isn't it, Zach?
Or it was.
Yeah. Do you know what? It's been like this. It's been like this wave. Like, we are going to be fine. And it's like, there's issues. Oh, crap. We're good.
But also, it's hard when it's your own. Because you live in it, and you look at it all the time, and then you get frustrated by everything. It's really hard.
We're lucky we haven't lived in it. We're very lucky. So
yeah, we're lucky we're not living in the refurb.
Must be a bit different, but we're doing like rewiring, you know, repiping the whole house, extension, roof, like back to brick, remodeling, adding a bathroom. Like, we've done it all in one go.
Get rid of the copper pipes, like, and the
fire. Yeah, lead pipe.
Yeah, you know, maybe masochistically, because my background is building bridges. I don't think I've driven on any of the bridges I built, you know, because they're far away and stuff, you know. But I'm just used to the site, and I love the site. So I love this mess, you know. I love organizing this.
Yeah.
And I think with what you've done with your business, you could, again, this is leverage, you know. It's like all of this, you then now know all these things, and then you can put it. And I know you've got a good system and process mind with it. So now your schedule of work going forward are going to be ace, you know. So. And then when you do it once, twice, and then it's just, and then you forget about, you know, like, it's just easier and easier.
Yeah,
I love it.
I'm having the best time doing it. So fun.
He loves the process. I'm like the numbers, and he's like the ops, which works out perfect. So,
well, when I was little, I would draw floor plans of houses and design. Like, that was what I did as a kid. Like, that was my idea of fun as like a 10-year-old, 11-year-old.
Mom was playing video games.
I've always been obsessed. I used to make my mum take me to, like, you know, like new build, like show homes and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
She'd be like, what do you want to do on the weekend? And I'd be like, can we go see some houses? Like, I just want to go walk around houses. That's all I wanted to do. So,
we're closing a lot of open loops, you know, like, because we talked about you need to love this, you know, like, these the people who love it the most that really make it the longest. So I think if you like concrete stuff, building things, holding things in your hands, and you like the idea of this design and things like that, you know, like, it's, you know, you're probably in the right asset class, yeah, in the right industry.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank goodness. I mean,
thank the Lord.
If you don't find a partner who does, and then you do the number and you let them put floor plans, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, pass it over, run the numbers, see if it works. Use property filter.
Your strength is the numbers, though, isn't it, Zach? Like, more than me. Like, that's the
Like, looking at, like, property filter and doing that, like, finding the deals, and I know you like doing that, but, like, analyzing it and seeing, oh, this is a good opportunity, and then, like, stacking it, that's kind of, like, that's fun. And then when it comes to then organizing and coordinating contractors and picking, like, bathrooms and all the above, it doesn't excite me at all. It's like, cool, how much profit? This is great. And this is why, like, for us, like, why property filter is something that we will use even more so when we're starting to build it, is the fact that we know, because we've done it and we just, like, looked at right move. Like, we don't have any time.
Time
is not a friendly asset of ours. Like,
it doesn't stand a chance.
And we would be the people that would do one or two viewings or put an offer in one or two properties and it will fall through, or it won't be there. Where you said, like, there's no way that we have the ability, or business owners or whoever that want to do it themselves, have the ability to find the deal themselves at volume. Just impossible without having something in place that allows them to do it. That's probably your mindset with property filter.
Yeah, that's really, really interesting, because whatever the situation, you don't have time. So people are in a job and they tell me, oh, I don't have time, you know? And they believe that once they quit the job, once they've got their 5 days back, they can waste it on doing loads of random viewings, you know? you know, like, and then you can only do this for a period of time before you either are disheartened or you just stop and do something else and you go back to work, you know. There's just no way. So the sooner you value your time, and the sooner you are frugal with your time, and you say, okay, I need to get results, you know. And it's just about spending your time. It's about, what are you doing today that makes the needle move? You know, what is income generating in what I've done today? And sadly, most people don't value their time. And weirdly, we have a lot of out of area people who do really well. So people in London investing, you know, in around the country, in Wales, in the north, or wherever, and people overseas, because they have a direct cost to the viewings.
Mm.
They'll pay like a viewer, or they'll pay a friend, or something like that. So all of a sudden, because they value like the 50 quid or 30 quid viewing more than their own hour or their own afternoon, you know. And then because there is this cost, they value, like, Property Filter is great for, you know, they see the value a lot quicker than other people, because all of a sudden they move from spending 500 quid a month on viewing fees to like 60 quid a month on viewing fees for the same results, you know. And it's like, oh, great, you know, immediate ROI, you know. And then it's a process for, especially people leaving their job. They don't really understand that you need to invest in a business before, you know, money in, money out. And they're like, oh, well, you know, like, I'll start to systemize my business and value my time when I start to get money from properties. Like, well, the real cost is you not getting any deal for the next 2 years. Like, how much is that costing you? Like, what's your goal? Oh, I want 5-10 grand a month. All right. So every month you spend without this 5-10 grand a month is costing you 5-10 grand a month, isn't it? So if you achieve this goal a month earlier, you'll be 5-10,000, you know, 5-10,000 pound better off, you know. Multiply this by 2 years, you know, and you're 200 grand in, you know. So it's quite a funny thing, because I can't really change people's mindset around this, you know, like, they have, you know, we try to help as much as we can, but
yeah. Money's very hard. People have a really weird, I even can relate with, before I, like, my mindset when I started this, when we started this business, sorry, I was such a different person kind of come to money. I was like, oh, no, we don't want to spend that. Oh, no, we can do it cheaper. Oh, we don't do that. Well, when we make the money, we'll spend it.
Like a scarcity, sounds what you'd call it, right? Like that scarcity headspace.
Yeah. And now it's like, how can I spend the least amount of money for the thing that I need, but then that gets an ROI? So, you know, we're in a position right now where we're, you know, very heavily into, you know, purchasing something that's going to get a massive ROI back. But you have to spend the money to get the money, but it's going to return. But, like, I remember when I you know, if open confession here, I remember when we were, because I remember we had a demo from you with one of our, like, a mentor. God, this would have been like January 2023. We would have had like 2 or 3 units. And I was like, this is amazing. I was like, wow, we're going to use this, but we won't pay for it now. We'll get it when we need deals. It's like, when do you need deals? I want deals all the time, don't I? Like,
Now
my mindset's different.
So it's funny now, because we've been around for a few years, you know, where people have seen us speak at events, or we get invited, where people ask us to present to their group and stuff like that. And then you see people again, you know. So you see people who didn't take the thing 6 months ago, and they're like, oh, wait. So what are you doing? Still the same, you know? It's like, oh, did you know that John over there took the thing, started, you know, subscribe to, and it's, you know, it's a few quid a month, you know, subscribe to the Property Filter, and he's now got 2 more deals, you know? It's like, you know, so like, what about you? And so people don't really get this. It's the cost of not getting the results, you know? And then you only need to spend 6 months, 18 months achieving nothing before you are disheartening, or you... We see people come back, you know, like, it's quite, you know, and then we're happy to, you know, to help, of course. But I, you know, can you imagine the results you would have had, you know, if you would have started do good deals 2 years ago? Like, you know, like, and then everybody thinks, oh, I should have bought before and things like that. It's like, you need it now, you know, like, you need, you know, especially this, because it's people and systems, you know, so, and then it's not just about us, you know, it's all sorts of subscriptions, you know, so. I think we need, in this cloud, you know, software cloud space, there's, you know, thousands of companies who spend literally millions to building some tools that you can leverage for a few quid a month. Like, how many employees would it take to, you know, like you would not do your accounting without Xero, you know, like, or like, oh, you have the shoebox and then the pain, you know, the pain of it. And you would like, you wouldn't do certain things, you know, like, and like CRMs and I don't know, we must spend 10 grand a month on just subscription on software, but the value is, it saves us.
It's so true.
Employees, you know, so.
Yeah, we pay astronomical, like on channel managers or on all sorts of systems, because it saves money, like, and it's organized.
Yeah,
and like even today, I was just like,
you get more done in less time, and you save money, you know, and it's actually cheaper.
So yeah, a big thing that I and Eve learns, like understanding what your hourly rate is. So for example, if someone wants to be making 10 grand a month, what is their actual hourly rate on a 38-hour week? I don't know what that would be. That's probably like 50 quid, 60 quid an hour. So basically, a subscription, let's say Property Filter or Xero, is half an hour or an hour of their actual, what they're worth. But they're investing in that early to get there. So you act like you're already making 10 grand a month sensibly. You obviously don't go buy like a Porsche. Like, you know, you invest in what you can and your means. But I think, and we find that right now with, like, for example, let's say a landlord, it's like we're looking at a property and it's going to make him an extra 700 or 8,000 pounds a month, but they need to spend 3 or 4 grand furniture. So they're going to make that ROI in 5 months. But it's like, oh, but I have to pay the furniture. It's like, yeah, but you're going to make your money back in 5 months. But if I do this, I don't have to spend it. It's like, yeah, but then you're not
still
you're losing. So, and you know, some people are different. You can't please everyone, but it's it is such a barrier to people's success is money, spending money. Mm-hmm. So it's super intriguing.
For me, the timing is like the cost of not getting the results you want, and then for how long is that? Like, what's the actual cost there? And then you know, when we talked about you know, living in a bit of a discomfort zone, and this is how you grow, etc. We closing lots of open loops today. It's very much the same, you know. If you always live within your thing, you know, if you don't create this creates the urgency, you know, like, because you really need to want, you know, to do your 5-10 grand a month, you know. Otherwise, you know, if you're not obsessed about it, why, you know, it's never going to happen, you know. If you don't think about it all the time, if you don't make the needle move every day in that direction, and you confuse like activity and results. So you're like, oh, I've been very busy today, you know, and then been doing lots of networking and doing lots of admin, and I've made a few payments and all of this stuff, you know, like none of this makes you money, you know? So I think is re-centering with what actually makes you progressing. Like, what activity do you do that it actually results? It's not just some activity being busy. And then what can make you go quicker and faster towards this, you know, this goal here? And the best urgency, you can engineer your environment. You know, you can just engineer your environment, you know, by saying like, it's costing me, like, from where I am now to where I want to be, it's costing me 5 grand a month of not getting these results, you know. What am I doing about this, you know? And then it just, you know, it's kind of, it's not a trick, you know. I think you can really, you know, resonate with it, you know, quite tangibly. And then all of a sudden, there's some urgency for you to, right, I'm now like, let me stop doing all of this, stop this noise, and remove a lot of things. And it's not about doing more things. It's very much about doing less, like 10 times less than most people do. 10 times too many different activities they don't need to do. And like, just need to cut all of it down. Like, don't go for, maybe they don't need to go for coffees and meet someone. But there's a lot more stuff, you know, they could be doing that makes things progress. And I think they might like urgency, you know. So I think the mental model I use is I need this revenue a month, and it's costing me that much revenue a month until I get there. And then all of a sudden you invest in the team, you invest in whatever tool and whatever you need, you know, to get there. Because then it's pennies compared to this, you know, this money you're not making.
Yeah, I like it. I always think, you know, like talking like it's already happened. For me, that creates that panic almost, like that healthy level of urgency of like, you know, when this happens, you know, you're talking like that goal is already in existence. You're not already giving yourself a choice, like you are.
Yeah, I coached the team on that as well. So because it's ingrained in people's, you know, it's like if this, if that's like, what are you talking about? Like, it's not a matter of if, it's when, you know. So and thoughts become things, you know, and the what you think about, you bring about, and all this stuff, you know, and then your language is so important. So, and I don't know why, like, we've got this, you somehow need, like, I don't think it was conscious, you know, I don't know if it was conscious for me to think like that, but I found myself not picking up on people, but like coaching people on, nice. Mm. Oh, yeah, this is not how we talk, you know, around here. Like, so, what do you think you pick this up?
Well, like coaching people.
No, I mean like the understanding language, you know, like.
Yeah. Oh, language. Yeah, it's so important.
I think part of it is like. Go on. So it's my delay again. I'm not interrupting you on purpose. Go on. You go.
No, I was gonna say, Eve, you did literature, so you can detail language. You give it that literal response.
Yeah, I'm quite like passionate about it. I think it kind of goes back to like when you're that obsessed about something, you do just like start getting into that mindset of like, you know, there's no choice in the matter, like it has to happen. You have to want it enough to feel like that, I think. But there's a lot of it that comes from like learning and talking to mentors and having these kind of conversations where you're looking at people who have achieved more.
Yeah, I guess it's the people you surround yourself with, is the content you consume, the people you surround yourself with. And then you become like these people. That's probably right. Yeah. I certainly wasn't born with that. You know, like when I left my job, I was some idiot with no job. You know.
Yeah. I think people need direction. So people, there's born skill, and they it's deep within people, or some people have it surface level. So if I was to relate to myself, I mean, I was always like go, and probably the best employee you could find, like, would treat it like my own business. And I've only recently learned the power of what you say is what you are. So one word that Anita knows this, because I tell her anytime I say it, that is like, I'm tired, like, I'm sad, I'm annoyed, I'm frustrated. As soon as you say these words, it's you're basically taking that energy. But if you just avoid saying that and you're just focusing on the good energy, it's actually astronomical. Like, I've never felt tired in the day. I used to always have time in the day, but I'm tired.
Yeah, 100%. And we're so guilty of that. French, they moan all the time and stuff. I was like, I was the same. You're very untypical Frenchman there.
It's so crazy. Like, literally, your brain doesn't know the difference between like you tell it and what's reality. Your subconscious is like the driver of your life. Like, you have to control it by feeding it the right information to drive it in the right direction. Yeah. The world's coming from, which is bigger.
Yeah, no, that's so true. I was reading Life in Half a Second, was recommended to me, and they said there was this study where this person got told they had some diagnosis for something, some disease that was just made up, but it was terminal. They weren't going to be able to fix it. And it was made up. It was placebo. And that person died 3 months later, fully healthy, everything. And they and it was another case study, and it happened again. And it's the mind will affect your... Yeah, I know, it's crazy. But they didn't think that was going to happen. They were like, wow, that was like a crazy outcome. The mind controls the body more than people know. And if you don't have this, or you don't focus on this, and you don't educate that, whether you want to be financially free or grow a property or grow a business or have 30 team members or run a property, what was it, service agency, whatever, what was going on, you need to work on that mindset. And I know all these courses talk about mindset, but there's a difference between like motivating and actually learning what it takes to be successful, because it's not easy. And that's the problem. There's challenges every day, and there's 10 of them, and some of them are severe.
But I think on the probably the best thing is, I think it's really hard to say, oh, I'm buying a mindset course. I don't really know how this would work, but it's more the modules of the course. I think there's a lot more you can do by just engineering an environment. So turning off the TV, you know, like switching off with some friends, you know, and it's like, look, guys, I'm growing with or without you, like, and you're just pulling me down. So it's just rough, you know, but you have to do it. So you engineer your environment, and then you try to spend more time with people who are like, maybe if it's sports, you know, like usually the way you do one thing is the way you do everything. So you stick around people who are running triathlons, all of a sudden, you know, like your business goes better, you know. So it's not, there's not, you know, like there's no like things you can buy or pills you can get to change your mindset, but I think you can be more purposeful. And a lot of the stuff we talk about is really about that, is understand, is having clarity. So is having a long, hard discussion with yourself, or like ponder around what you really want, and really like what the fuck are you doing, you know, like, and it's like, you know, things need to change, you know.
Yeah.
And then you can engineer your environment. So it's maybe, so me, I was ruthless, you know, like zero socials, zero, like just because I need to be, what I needed, I need to become a different person to deliver on this new different thing. And it costs nothing in terms of, you know, there's no pill to buy, you know, so, but you need to be quite clear, you know, to be quite clear and honest with it. Quite clear what you want and honest with yourself, and then you engineer your environment, spend less time with some people, spend less time with certain dopamine, and then look who you look up to and who you want to be spending some time with, you know, and then you can then choose a peer group or do different things like that.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely lost, I mean, we're not even that far into the journey, but I've definitely lost friends along the way because of that. And, you know, it's like, it's hard in the moment, but actually, in the long run, it's like if someone's not there on the same page, even just supporting you, then it's fine. You know, it's the energy you surround yourself with, isn't it? So, yeah, those things are all true.
No one's going to agree. No one's going to agree with you to leave your job. No one's going to agree with you when you decide that you're going to become this big property investor and it's too risky and you're going to lose all your money and you need to be safe and get a job. But that's because you don't blame them. You just, they don't know what you know. And, that's why we have different class tiers because of that. But I love this. This is great. This took a turn. We started talking about things I didn't think we'd get into, which I absolutely.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you wanted to talk about.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Let's wrap up telling us a little bit, just like about like where Property Field is at right now, like what's coming for it. Like, give us some of the updates, like before we wrap up on where
just
things
the juicy
are at.
Stuff.
Oh, cool, yeah. So we're the highest rated platform to find deals. It's all about finding motivated sellers, all about doing more deals. People ask me, how does it compare with X and Y? I say, well, it doesn't really. So it's the platform, it's all about doing deals, you know. So you can either be that person procrastinating on some stuff, or you can come and this is where we do deals, you know. So very, very grateful for our community of members. Now we've got 1,400 people up and on the country, giving us calls every week, you know, every day, because they find their first, their third, or their 30th deal, you know, in the last 30 days, in the last 12 months. 30 deals in 30 days would be nice. And it's very, very rewarding. So being able to invest. So we're not profitable. So we're just burning a lot of money every month, investing everything in the product and the service. We're very personable in engaging with the members, because nothing can beat 1,000 pair of boots on the ground. So we really know. So it's not so much what we've earned over the year, but it's very much been what we've learned. And we really know what people care about, what we need to build next. So at the time of recording this, there's a couple of really huge feature release coming in August. And one is a whole UI revamp, which is going to be a game changer. Because as I said at the start, so we build it for ourselves. So historically, it's been clunky because we never needed it to be pretty, but now that all the early adopters, if you like, you know, if you think of the people who are queuing up to buy the next iPhone, all of these guys who want the new innovative technology, they're all on Property Filter, and now we need to cross the chasm with people who are maybe not as tech savvy and things like that. So it's why we invested since the last 6 months in a lot of UI improvements, and it's a lot more sleek, a lot more modern. And it's just a lot easier to use, and a few things we've learned in the flow of where our people work is just going to flow more in the terms of how they do their deals, really. So it's going to integrate a lot more in people's, you know, sort of day to day. It's really, really cool and exciting. Just 10 days, 2 weeks after that, we have a huge, huge, huge feature release, which is going to really disrupt the whole industry, because it's going to allow you to send letters at scales, you know, organize direct to vendor campaigns. So when I say campaigns, you program your letter one, letter two, letter three, letter four. You can cancel the campaigns, you know, the one property when they phone you up. and things like that. So with this, we've taken a lot of learning from people who've done really well. So we get like 40% response rate on their letters. We baked all of this into the software. It's really, really impressive. So like people are going to do even more deals, you know, like that. And then we're working on the mobile app as well, which is probably going to come a couple of months later. And then once people are scrolling on the toilet, you know, like this is it, you know.
That's game over. Yeah. That's huge when they can just be doing that all the time and just
know that we,
as
you know, we don't build it so you scroll because we hate the dopamine of right move on the other guys, but
it's not like right move on the toilet.
But there's big, we have to fight big entrenched habits of people on their phones. And then basically just having the alternative. So some very serious people, they're just so used to looking at it on their phone. So that's the next thing. So it's all designed and now we're coding it. And
so good.
And then it's going to become a product of its own, where it's just going to do lots of stuff for integrate with your viewing and the AI assistance. You know, you take your viewing tour videos, lots of really cool stuff. So
that's awesome. I think that's really cool that you get that app, because these people that are starting or wanting to get into business or so property, and they're wanting to find it, rather than spending hours on Rightmove, they can just go every day on the toilet at work, 15 minutes, just go through their good and bad deals, and then that's their day done.
So they can't
sit there and have time. They can just on the toilet every day. But man, look, I think we really appreciate having you on here. Everyone that we know that's on Property Filter talk about how amazing it is. And obviously we use it ourselves, though we haven't been looking for properties, we've used it and we will be using it. Because we don't have time. I can't wait to see what's going to happen in the next couple of years with you guys. It's going to be just, you know, roof off from here. I think that UI especially, I think that's just the next level where this business just flies. So I'm really excited for you guys.
Yeah, thanks so much. Thanks for the early support as well. So, and it was quite cool, conversing with you guys, talking about all things. So always
a pleasure. Love it. Well, look, I'm sure we'll get you on here in a year from now, and you'll have 200 employees. Love it. We'll see how many units we have compared to your employees. See if we can keep it intact. love it. All right. So, well, mate, look, pleasure as always.
Thanks a lot, guys.